This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
You work 15 hours and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Blue collar work ain't for the faint of heart, buddy.
No.
Yeah, there's been a push the last couple of years to get the younger folks back into blue collar, the trades,
yeah,
work like that. Well, there may be a problem. Because, Tommy, based on the information we have in front of us,
mm-hmm,
if the men and women who do these jobs,
yeah,
have this to say about them, it's not the best endorsement.
Oh.
To get other folks to make this as a career.
What are they saying?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, did you know about one quarter of Americans
yeah,
work what are classified as blue-collar jobs?
A quarter, okay.
Quarter of Americans.
Yeah.
And according to what we have in front of us, they don't really enjoy them.
Real work? Real sweat?
I can't. You're in that tracksuit. You can't talk like a tough guy.
Calloused hands, working all day.
You know what you look like?
Well,
you look like a Make-A-Wish kid they let dress up as a blue angel. I'm going to go on the fly. The Pew Research Center,
yeah, what they say,
did a study on job satisfaction among blue-collar workers. And they found, on the whole, blue-collar workers are less satisfied with their jobs than any other type of worker in America.
Oh.
And to be clear, in this study, they define blue-collar workers as people who do manual or physical labor in their jobs and work in manufacturing, mining, construction, agriculture, hospitality, or transportation.
Yeah, those are bust-ass, physically tough jobs.
You got it.
But you come home ragged out.
So when they asked these blue-collar workers in this study, and these are blue-collar workers speaking in this study, if they were at least very satisfied with their jobs, only 43% said yes. That was compared to 53% of other type of workers.
Yeah.
But they broke it down further. Blue-collar workers are less satisfied with their coworker relationships. Blue-collar workers were less satisfied with their relationship with their boss. They were less satisfied with how much they were paid. And blue-collar workers were less satisfied with their flexibility at work, again, compared to all other types of workers in America.
Mm.
Does any of this surprise you?
No, because, like, you can't – if you have a – blue-collar job, you can't work from home. You have to be there every day till the job's done. So, especially if you work construction, right?
No, I mean, look, I hear you. You had a blue-collar job, and like what you are describing was the go-getter that you were when you weren't wiping yourself with meat you were serving the customer.
Okay, that only happened once. You make it sound like it was on the menu.
Stealing tens of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise from the store. You got to work hard. You got to sweat. You got to brush your ass.
There were guys that busted their ass, though, and they were always in my way.
Really? I was going to say, you've never described any of them on the show. Was Horny Corny busting his ass?
On my sister's ass, yeah.
Your sister. That is your sister,
bro. He tore my sister's ass up.
Okay.
But he did. I like how you bring up these stories.
Nobody asked you to say that. Well, nobody.
You don't think if Horny Corny's on you, you're going to know it?
Okay, I didn't. When I said Horny Corny.
Brother leaves a mark.
Okay. Kimmy, does it surprise you that blue-collar workers are having these issues where they work?
No, I mean, it's a tough job. It's got to wear on you.
Okay.
And that, you know, translate to all other aspects of your life.
And it physically wears you out.
Yeah.
Like, if you do that job solid, at the end of the year, you're beat.
If you're tired, if you're just constantly tired.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone, no matter how much you love your job, is going to wear on you.
All right. So the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. All you blue-collar workers, I'd love to hear from you.
And you horny cornies.
No horny cornies, please. All horny cornies, put your phones down. So we got a problem here.
What?
America needs blue-collar workers badly. In fact, the shortage of people in the trades has some industries cutting back on actual production, not because people don't want it, right? But because they don't have the folks to work those jobs. That being said, it's been really hard to convince a teenage kid this is the route they should go the last couple of years. And now that we have this study where blue-collar workers themselves are saying, at least more than half are saying, they are not satisfied at their jobs, what the hell do you tell someone who's 15, 16, 17 that shows a talent for carpentry or plumbing or manufacturing or something like that?
Yeah.
This is the job you should go into.
Well, because at some of these trades, you're going to make a lot of money.
Okay.
Like, you're going to make huge bank, and you're not going to have to invest in student loans and 4 to 6 years of college to get it.
Look, those
and just because you go to college and get some job, that job could also be boring and mentally make you miserable.
You're right.
Right? I mean, so, I mean, I would say the trade-off is you want money, you're going to get it a lot faster in the trades.
Okay, but here's the thing. Again, I'm going to read you what this study showed. And everything you're saying makes sense to me, right?
Every lady likes a working man.
Yeah, that's what all the country songs are about.
Yeah.
Every lady likes a working man. Every country song's about how I'm a working man and ladies don't want. My lady walked out on me. Took my dog, took my truck.
Well, that's why you got to play the song backwards.
Okay, yeah.
You get it all back.
Man, only the best
jokes. You brought up the standard country joke.
You made it more hack. I was already hack. You hacked it up more. Look, what you're saying makes sense.
That's the way you sell it.
Okay, but again, I have data in front of me from the Pew Research Institute, which is like one of the best in America. Blue-collar workers, less satisfied with their jobs or their coworker relationships compared to other jobs. They were less satisfied with the relationship with their boss compared to other jobs. Less satisfied with how much they were paid compared to other jobs.
Well, that's only in certain industries.
And less satisfied, yes.
And also, you'll get more respect as a working man.
You want to try that again?
Yeah, if you're a working man, you're going to get more respect from people.
From who?
Than if you're a softie.
No, but
if you're soften up in the office.
No, but that's
looking out your window all day on the phone playing your golf game.
I disagree with that. And now it depends on who you're talking about because the rivalry that exists now, and it's been getting hotter and hotter the last couple of years between the blue collar folk and the white collar folk, is that white collar folk don't respect blue-collar folk because they're not using their brains, is what they think. That's not true.
They look down.
And then the blue-collar folk go, well, you're just a bunch of softies. So when you say you get more respect being a worker man, I respect those people because I grew up in that neighborhood.
But I think
everybody does.
And by the way, there are blue-collar people that work different blue-collar jobs that look down on the other blue-collar job. I mean,
there are people that work in the same job that will look down on their other.
It can happen. It can happen.
Like Horny Corny. He was looking down on everybody, including your sister. Well, she was down there doing stuff.
But my sister always looked up to Horny Corny. Well, he kind of liked it.
All right. 252 W. Oh, come on, man.
I like how you poke me.
Does this have to be a theme?
Horny Corny banging his sister?
I think we're not going to get past this.
I can make jokes about Horny Corny having sex with your sister.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with a guy, a friend of mine, having sex with my sister that I encourage.
Well, I mean, Horny Corny was single at the time, so.
He was single. His wife and kids were not.
He was a married man that you encouraged to have sex with your sister.
Two kids. Okay. And the white kid works at the store.
252 WCMF. Let's get back to the topic at hand. The apparent dissatisfaction with blue-collar workers. Now, again, it's a study, so everybody's opinion is different. And folks are waiting on hold.
Okay.
Let's talk to Joel. Hello, Joel. You're on CMF. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I've been a baby slave for the last 10 consecutive years. So it's a love-hate relationship, you know. I done did landscaping for 4 years.
Okay.
I done did factory work for a year, and I couldn't stand it, and I went right back to outside construction. I've been at construction since then.
Okay.
But
so when you say love-hate, the love is what, the hate is what?
Love is the freedom of being outside. You know, I'm a smoker, so I smoke tobacco, so I need to be smoking outside. I need to be outside smoking. But indoors, when you go in the factory, and it's repetitive. It's the same thing. It's, you feel like you're a robot. I worked at Amazon for 2 months. I had to leave. It was like a prison. It's like you're a robot.
Okay.
You know, you go outside, it's, I don't know, it's something about earning your money. You feel like you're really earning your money when you do that baby slave work.
All right, I get it. All right, let me ask you this, Joel. Let's say you got a kid comes to you, and the kid goes, how old are you, bud?
I'm 27.
All right, you're 27 years old. They look at you, they go, I got an opportunity to go to community college to work my way into a four-year school, get a degree. I got an opportunity to work construction right now like you do. What should I do? What would you tell them?
Oh, I'm in that predicament myself right now. I tried to go back to school after 10 years. I tried to go back to college for solar thermal technology. And I'm so, being in the field with physical work, I'm so used to hands-on work. I told them, you know, I don't want to be in class trying to learn. I need to touch something. I need to physically touch something to learn.
Okay.
I tried to do the classwork, and it's like, the difference is at work, I'm at work for 8 hours. I come home. I don't bring work home with me, you know?
Yeah.
You go to school, you got to go to school all day. You got to take homework home with you. You got to take the projects home with you. It's a 24/7 thing. It's not
okay.
It's not an 8 hours. Boom, you're done.
Well, look, you're preaching to the choir with Tommy and I here. We've talked about if we had to go back and study, we wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
And don't get me wrong. The money that I was going for, you know, it's good money, but it's not the passion that I like. You know, if you're working and you don't enjoy it, you're not. You know what I'm saying?
I get it 100%. All right, so you are happy with the job you have now.
It's a smoke outside.
Right, and, you know, you enjoy using your hands to touch things, but it was enough. There was enough hate where you started exploring another option.
Yeah, that's when it comes down to, okay, you feel like you're getting underpaid, you're getting overworked too much, or you know what I'm saying? That's where that comes into play. But it's all about word of mouth. You know, if you open your mouth, and you say something to higher ups and stuff like that, you might get your way, you might get what you want, but a lot of stuff goes unseen and unappreciated.
I thought you meant you could get away with what you want, but no, I understand what you're saying.
That's my
point. Absolutely not. No, you got to be a company man. You can't be, no. That's how you get fired.
We already did the song, so we can't do the song again. But Joel, I really appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, take care. We'll do it again. Mm. You work 15 hours, and what do you get? Smoking outside
and a lot of sweat. Corny, grabbed your sister, and you're going to regret.
Nope, that's not.
252 WCMF, a study by the Pew Research Institute showed that when blue-collar workers were asked if they were at least very satisfied with their jobs, only 43% said yes. Almost 6 in 10 blue-collar workers said they were not satisfied with the jobs that they have now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kimmy, were you going
to say? Well, I was going to say, I wonder if, to Joelle's point, if you think you don't really love what you do and then you try something else and you realize maybe this isn't for me, maybe it makes you go back to your job and really, maybe it just gives you a new perspective on that job. Maybe it helps you appreciate it more.
It's a good call. Yeah. It's a really good call. You know, we were going through, like, you know, the things that blue-collar workers say are a problem at their job. One of them was how they feel about their coworkers. That was the most surprising thing in this study for me.
That's the one thing I miss.
Yes.
When I cut meat with those guys and just the camaraderie and the joking around, even while you were working. You know what I mean?
Almost 40% of blue-collar workers say they were not satisfied with their coworker relationships, which was lower.
But you also weren't working. You had a place in the parking lot called the Snake Pit. You would drink on the job.
No. It was after work. I did drink on the job, but the Snake Pit was after work. And it was always
mall worker. But you said people cut corners there all the time.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, but you're all together doing it. That's what makes it great.
I had a cool thing.
But I think, like, what we're describing are, like, these very physically draining jobs sometimes that I don't know if you experienced that.
We unloaded
so
trucks
much.
And stuff. Here is the best part. It was like cutting corners with guys that were in on it with you. So you had like this group. It was like a syndicate. And the greatest one was punching guys in that weren't there yet. So they picked up a quarter hour or half hour work.
My point here.
But you would do it for each other.
No, I mean, there is a band of brothers, Kimmy, when you're in this. Look, from my personal experience, working these jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coworker relationships is what made the job fun.
Right. Yes. Like, let's say you would have one guy's going to pick up McDonald's for breakfast, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, you do that. I'm going to punch you in.
Okay,
so
but don't you think it only takes one guy to take advantage of that too many times where now you've ruined the dynamic?
Probably.
All right, pass what Tommy is saying.
Yeah.
Like, when you're working these blue-collar jobs with, you know, your coworkers,
you're
all pulling the same rope together.
Mm-hmm.
You get folks from a lot of different backgrounds. It brings different flavors to what you're doing, right? There was a bond. It just happened.
Yeah.
Right? Like the neighborhood I grew up in, everyone worked a blue collar job. And all of their friends were guys they worked with. Like it got to the point, and I don't know if you had this experience, Kimmy, where some of my dad's friends were guys that our neighbors worked with because they were over at their house, and my dad hanging out on the stoop with my neighbors became friends with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's not really the case anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell happened there.
But I think probably blue collar jobs that I had, especially back in my day compared to now, you're probably under the thumb a lot more now.
You think so?
Well, there's way more rules, regulations, cameras,
safety,
phones.
For safety reasons.
Like, none of that stuff existed.
When it comes to manufacturing, like when you're
you
in
really have to trust your coworkers in a lot of those jobs, too. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be an idiot when you're doing some of those dangerous jobs.
I understand, but I think when it comes to these jobs, at least from my experience, there's two kinds of idiots. There's the idiot that you are afraid will get you hurt, and then there's the idiot who you know, despite the fact that he's silly and dumb, knows that job backward and forward.
Yeah.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like in my day, like, but like blowing off steam if somebody was pissed off. So there used to be not a lot of fights, but they were pretty frequent in the meat room. But in the grocery store in general.
Yeah, trying to fight their way onto your sister. That's my turn. Get off there, horny corn.
How about that? My sister's back with horny corn.
Not my fault they're fighting over dad ass.
She had a tight little can. But like, if there was a fight between two guys, let's say there was a fist fight or a push
big
and shove,
brawl.
But you weren't fired. You just went back to work. There was no HR. There was nothing. Like unless something got really violent.
Yeah.
But if somebody slugged somebody or had words or whatever, you just went back to work.
You weren't really held accountable.
Well, yeah, yes, but you also got to blow off some steam, and you had it out, and you just went back at it.
I think that the...
Well, I don't think you have that anymore.
Well,
and I'm saying that's a good thing, but it happened.
I don't know, man. I just heard a story. I've told you the story where that exact thing happens.
Yeah.
Nobody lost their job.
Right.
And when you say not held accountable, Kimmy, the room holds you accountable,
yeah,
right? There are unspoken rules where it's like,
you
know...
You kind of police yourself.
Exactly. The other surprising number here... I'm sorry. Let me actually... A lot of folks are writing us on Instagram right now. I want to get everybody in. James writes us, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us on Instagram. So I'm 28. I work as a vineyard manager in the Finger Lakes. I agree that some days make the job tough, but a lot of high schoolers are being pushed in the direction of blue-collar work because of salary and lack of student loans. It's not for everyone after high school. I went to college for a white-collar job, and it was so much more worse than any day at my blue-collar job. And I think he makes a good point there.
Yeah.
There is this assumption that if high school kids don't want to go into these blue-collar jobs, that they're soft.
Yeah.
And that may be driving more kids into jobs that they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talented enough to excel at.
Yeah, all right.
You know, not every circle fits in a square peg.
That's true, yeah.
Evan writes, and we were talking about coworkers.
Mm.
I'm a 20-year-old electrician. My coworkers are the best part of my job. My 40-year-old journeyman is like my best friend. Evan, let me give you some tips. Do not make friends with the weird older guy.
Why?
You're gonna end up
go out for drinks with him.
You're gonna end up
back to his apartment.
You're gonna end up in a closet hearing about how a married guy banged his sister back in the day that he set up. There's another surprising number that was buried in this study.
Who is that?
Blue collar workers were far more likely than white collar workers to say they'd be looking for a new job soon.
More likely?
More likely. By 25%.
So they're looking to get out of the
Not necessarily. It's any new
job. Have a skill,
all right.
And maybe it's a little bit, I don't know if it's easier to bounce around, but like if you have that skill, maybe you have a lot of options.
Yeah, you would. But Kimmy, one of the benefits of blue collar work that's being sold by folks that are doing it, depending on the job, of course, is the job security.
Yeah.
You can't outsource construction, plumbing, carpentry, etc.
And by the way, if you're a plumber, you could get side plumbing gigs all the time. Electrician, the same way.
No, absolutely. It's really good to go do stuff for your friends and family. That never ends.
No, I'm talking about under the table on the side.
I understand, but you're not.
But that's if they pay you.
You're misunderstanding my point.
What's that?
If one of the big selling points of the younger generation, like you just brought up, is the job security of trade work, why are so many folks in it looking for new opportunities? If way more blue-collar workers say they're looking for a new job soon compared to white-collar workers.
Well, I guess you're looking at the overall picture of all blue-collar work.
Okay.
Right? And there's different levels of that.
You're right.
I mean, there's higher skilled labor, and then there's unskilled labor. So one's going to pay better than the other one because you have a skill set.
Don't make me get out of soapbox. I hate when people say that.
Why?
There is no such thing as unskilled labor.
Well, yes, but like you have to, as an electrician, there's a lot more schooling he had to go through.
Understood.
Than a guy that's just working a shovel.
You're right. But that guy working a shovel
tough job.
No, it's a skill. There are things that make that a better shoveler than another shoveler.
Yes, I understand that.
I know you don't.
Like,
not
I'm sure if you talk to people that work in that field, they'll argue, like, there are just some people, like, doing some of those simple tasks that you look at them, you're like, you're definitely not cut out for this. Or it's going to take you some time, a little bit more time than the average person to learn how to do this.
Yeah. I mean, look, as we wrap this all up, right? Talking about the culture war between the white and blue-collar world right now, that is a problem. Like, some folks, like we said, look at blue-collar work as uneducated. Some blue-collar workers look at white-collar workers as soft.
Subway.
And going to college or further education is a waste of time. But we do need each other.
Yes, you do.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, your crapper breaks, and you work as a lawyer, you're going to need some help.
Yeah.
You know, you're a plumber who finds a spot on his back. You want a doctor to have a college degree. Right? Like, you know... We're all pulling the same rope here, guys.
You know what I mean?
Like, I get it. The rivalry's fun, whatever. You chose a path. You had to justify what you did. But it does seem like this rivalry is hotter than it's ever been in, like, American history.
Yes.
Would you disagree with me?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're horny corny and it's peas when you burn, you need a doctor.
Did he pick that up from your sister? That's what you're implying here. You finished the break with your sister giving your married friend who you insisted hook up with your sister an STD?
Possible. I horny corny had many lovers.
It's Thursday. You know what that means.
That might have been his problem.
Shut up.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, well, you think when you hit 40 years, you'll understand you got to put your headphones on before
Well, I got involved in stuff.
You were looking at AI dogs playing golf on Instagram.
They're so adorable. It looks so real. I don't know how they do it.
There is a business in Rochester that, based on a major event they are having this weekend, just destroyed the Mother's Day of hundreds of mothers.
What's going on?
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. There is a huge event on Saturday and Sunday in Henrietta.
And what's going on?
So the new Dick's is opening on Jefferson Road. They moved out of the Marketplace Mall. They are moving into that plaza with Marshall's, Home Depot, like that whole stretch right there.
All right.
And they are having a grand opening.
Oh, yeah, they are.
With appearances.
Big kickoff.
Yep.
Who's coming?
From two Bills players. Saturday, Bills tight end Dalton Kincaid will be there from noon to 1:30. On Sunday, Bills wide receiver Khalil Shakir will be there at the same time, 12 to 1:30.
You're getting two big names here.
Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. And here's the way they're doing it.
Right.
Dick's will be giving out 250 wristbands on a first-come, first-served basis. Those will be the people that get to do the meet and greet.
Yeah.
And they're starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday.
So you got to get in there just to get the bracelet.
Yep.
And then,
just to be able to wait in line.
And then the appearance starts at noon.
Okay.
Okay. 10 a.m. to get the bracelets on Sunday for Khalil Shakir. What's on Sunday?
Yo, Mama's Day.
They just ruined Mother's Day for hundreds
Unless your
of...
mom loves Khalil Shakir.
Okay, there are women that will be like, oh my, if you could
they
do this...
They may also be lining up.
Okay. But here's the thing. Dalton Kincaid is the guy that moms love. Dalton Kincaid is the dreamy one of the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
At least according to my daughter.
Right.
Okay. Right? Not that I don't know if they have anything against Khalil Shakir, but remember, my daughter brought nerds to Dalton Kincaid. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to her ever.
Yep.
So, but could you possibly pull it all off?
I mean, you could.
Because you could make mom breakfast.
Okay.
So we're talking early Mother's Day, early.
8 o'clock. You can't have pancakes at 8 o'clock.
But no,
clean.
You got to be. And then you got to cut it off because you got to be at this place
to be one of the first 250 people
to get one of the birthdays.
Or you could do a late Mother's Day afternoon.
Yeah. No, let me hear. Let me. You be my wife, and I'll be me trying to sell this.
All right.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
You know those plans we had for Mother's Day? Well, listen, we're going to hold off on those.
Okay, all right.
Because I would like to go stand for 5 hours to go meet Khalil Shakir. Why did they do this on Mother's Day?
Well,
next week? I mean, is it really going to...
I'm surprised they're doing 2 days, you know what I mean? Because you would think just Dalton Kincaid alone is a huge deal.
Well, you're right, but you want people back
spacing
on Sunday.
Spacing it out, yeah.
Right? So you bring them back in that way. Why would you do this? Why would you do this? Also, what about Khalil Shakir's poor mother?
Oh.
Yeah.
Who's Cleos? The one from...
Did you call him Cleos?
He's from Tallahassee, right?
Nope.
Who am I thinking?
You're thinking of Keon Coleman.
Oh, that guy. He's funny. I should have got him.
Why would you have confused the two?
What's that?
I'm trying to figure out why you would have... They're very different players.
What do you mean?
Why
would they play football?
Why did you confuse Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir?
Well, because those names sound similar.
Is that what it is?
Khalil and what's the other one?
Khalil Shakir.
Khalil. Why you keep calling
him
Khalil?
Khalil Shakir. Keon Coleman.
It's the same consonant. Is it a consonant?
Talk it awfully fast, everybody.
No, I mean, but I know the one guy's really funny.
Yeah, Keon Coleman.
He ain't coming.
Not coming. Khalil Shakir coming. Khalil Shakir is more of a quiet warrior.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
A little boring.
Okay.
All right.
So, like, the way this works now is if you want to get autographs from Bills players, pro athletes, period.
You're going to stand in line and pay, right?
Well, no. Most of the time you're paying.
Yeah.
This is one of the very few appearances that these Bills players are doing for free. All right. So it's a huge
deal. You're paying in your time.
You are. But even with those
appearances.
But even with those appearances, Kimmy, where you have to pay to get autographs, which are becoming more common now. You still have to stand in line to hope to be someone who gets to pay you know, for the autograph, right? I'm not going to even attempt to do this, even though my wife wants to be left alone.
That seems like it could be crazy.
Do you have to bring your own stuff to sign, or do you buy like 8x10s there and stuff?
I'm sure they're going to have like a little piece of cardboard or something. Yeah.
They may, but you can bring your own stuff. Wristband, right? Tell you what the limits are.
Right. Yeah, and it doesn't say if there are what is allowed and isn't allowed. Right. That's the other thing. Like athletes now will sometimes they'll only sign certain things.
Yeah.
And you have to pay more for the bigger stuff.
Sometimes they'll have a limit on it just to move it along.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't get too complicated.
You got it. Like it sucks, man. Like when I was a kid, yeah, I told you, my dad. He worked part-time security work for when the Super Bowl Bills would come into town. And
those were insane.
And they happened all the time.
Yeah.
It felt like every weekend there was someone from those Bills teams. Yeah. And my dad, I told the story in the air before, when I was little, like 4 to 10 years old, he collected this scrapbook. It's my most prized possession. And he would take me to these appearances or have my mom take me, and my dad would be there. I'd take a picture with these guys, and they'd sign my book.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, Don Beebe. Andre Reed, or no, not Andre Reed. Don Beebe, Daryl Talley, Howard the House Baylor, all these guys, like 30 Bills players. And it was the greatest thing that you could give a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, right? Awesome. And it didn't cost any money.
Except maybe love.
That was his way.
Was it? That's
as close as Pat was going
to
get.
10 beat 10 sale of time.
But it does break my heart. That right. kids these at this age
you
now
don't get it,
you don't have that opportunity because it costs
pretty rare
$50 to $100
just to get a selfie
or like an autograph on something like in this book I have Will Wolford, former Bills offensive lineman. He's holding me.
Oh wow!
Right, Kenny Davis, Bills Super Bowl running back, is tickling me.
Oh,
I guess looking back on that, it's
that one might be a little dicey.
but don't you see it now as an adult and think, well, I guess it had to be that way because so many people kind of ruined it in the past.
I don't know.
Took advantage.
Well, it's also a way to make money, too, now.
Yeah. Sold things secondhand. I mean, I think, like, unfortunately, fans of the past have ruined it for your kids.
But when Jim Kelly, I remember when they opened up the Waterloo Outlet Mall. Mm-hmm. So Jim Kelly went out there, came out in a limo, and the appearance was like an hour and a half. That dude stayed there for hours. And signed everything because we were out there with him. Mm-hmm. And like I was amazed how long he hung past one. I mean, those people really did get spoiled because, like, he was very cool with his time.
Man. And like, here's the thing. Like, most Bulls players are cool with their time. Right. Like, if you go to training camp and you stand on the fence, those guys will sit there and sign until, like, you know, people
are taking care of them. You're not going to see Josh Allen anymore just signing stuff for 3 hours.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know?
It ain't going to happen.
Right.
And it sucks. You know, it's funny. You know why Jim Kelly stayed there and signed for that whole time?
Why is that?
Well, because he was waiting for the show to get over so he wouldn't have to talk to your lame ass. Hey, have you met my sister?
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and, like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.